Praise you, Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. We fail in our duty if we don't stop and worship you face to face, eye to eye. We have no better thing to talk about. We have no one to thank but you. You are our King of kings and our Lord of lords. And we worship you. Let everything that's said and done here tonight bring you glory, bring you honor, and in our hearts create more and more worship to you. For that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. We need, and remember, worship is not worship until you're looking in the face of God. And that's up to you. That's not up to Him. He's here. Right? He's with you at all times. Never leaves, never forsakes. So what's the old sign say? If God's not there, guess who moved? Then why don't we bow our heads one more time and let's pray that I do a good job. How about that? Father, this is your time. These are your people. We want to speak of your word tonight, your promises, your thoughts. Deal with every heart here tonight in truth and with truth, in love and with love. And let us leave here not the same, but changed in your name. And let it all be for your honor and for your glory. And we will be grateful and we will forever give you praise and honor and glory and place. In Jesus' name, everybody agrees, says amen. Hallelujah. All right. Has anybody in here had any thoughts about Sunday morning's message that might lead you to a question or even a challenge? It's a great time to speak if you'd like to. I would like to know if anything that I said brought in questions or amen. And by the way, it's not a requirement that it takes a year for you to get over. That's just their word. Now you need to learn to speak your word. In spiritual things, whoever has the last word wins. Always. A word is going to come to you such as, you're not going to be over with this from a year. And your response should be, that's not the truth. Here's the truth. And I don't care if the pain's still there. The Bible over and over tells you, call those things in heart as if they already were. Or those things that are as if they're already not. It depends on whichever benefits you and God. Remember, whatever benefits you benefits God. And whatever hurts you hurts God. If we'd always carry that on our shoulders, we'll act a little different. We'll speak a little different. Now, remember what I said. It's your word that's going to... It's your faith and your word. If you believed that this group of people agreed with that prayer, which I know they did, if you believe that God agrees with that prayer, which I know He does, then there is no other thing but healing. The only thing that can ruin that is for you to use another word, but it's finished. Does this church hear that? So you can not only get some more responsibility or a heavier load, but you also have more to praise about. Any other? How can you sit under that teaching Sunday and not have questions? What you don't realize is that's probably the roughest, toughest, most requiring message that you'll have ever heard. And I went home and just realized that. I'm afraid if I'd have realized it before, I wouldn't have taught it. I want a CD so I can hear what I said often. And I might just take it home and preach it. I don't usually do that, but believe me, that was an outstanding, uplifting, challenging, depends on where you are, insulting or complimenting word. Everybody in here should have had a little bit of life change because of that word. And I'm going to talk about one that I think has revealed itself to me today. And to me, that's how you know its word, is that somewhere there's a follow-up. There's a test. There's a challenge. There's a confirmation. However it reveals itself. And I'm going to talk about one that revealed itself to me tonight and how it happened. But we don't want to get off of Sunday yet. Any other words? Well, and I really think, I haven't heard the tape, but I really think this is one of those words that I don't think I'd go back and change anything. Maybe I could have spoken it better, but okay. How many are beginning to believe God for, say, some more healing? Well, healing covers every aspect of life, so let's talk about health issues. One of the things that God has been speaking to me about over and over is to stop praying to be healed, but start believing to walk in health. You know, Jesus didn't spend a lot of time on earth asking for somebody to pray for him and agree with him. Do you realize that? Why was that? See, I think we're missing a very, very powerful understanding in that we don't walk in what we're believing for. God doesn't want us to walk to believe for stuff all of our lives. Let's start with the basic one, salvation. I don't think that that we are to walk around believing that we're saved or trying to believe for salvation is a better way to say it. I don't once let the thought cross my mind that I'm not walking in salvation. Oh, how much? Well, every day. It says that I'm to walk in walk out my salvation in fear and trembling. It says that basically I'm to get saved on a daily basis. Well, how do I get saved on a daily basis? I don't get forgiven on a daily basis. No, I get forgiven on an hourly basis. So, and that is a work that I can't do. We've talked about that. If I need to remind you, there's no way that I have any forgiveness in me. I cannot forgive you for anything. I can't even forgive me. Because the very word forgive in the Bible translates into loose. So the only thing that I can do is loose. What does that mean? Well, that means if I do something wrong, the next thing is not to fall on my knees and ask for forgiveness. I need to loose myself. Yeah, because the enemy's going to come say, you know what you did, bro? You know what you did, bro? And you said, what? That would be our spiritual response of nothing. Nothing, because I walk in forgiveness. I walk in freedom, the loosing by the Holy Spirit from the blood of Jesus. I walk in salvation. I have no fear at all of missing heaven. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I have no fear of missing heaven. Why? Because God looked at my life before I was ever born, saw every mistake I would make, then walked up and said, would you like to be mine? And my response was yes, and his response was, attaboy. And now I'm sealed. And the enemy's his job is to be faithful, and he is faithful, in reminding me of something that might make me miss heaven. And my job is to remind him of his destiny and mine. His destiny is hell. He can't even change that. I got better news. My destiny is heaven, and it can't be changed. Unless I'm just stupid enough to tell him to go to hell, God himself. Then I'm out. Now let me speak honestly and brutally frank. That's what I just said. It's called blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Let's quit getting technical. I tell God to go to hell. I'm not interested in him anymore. So guess who gets to go to hell? If you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. So if I don't forgive myself, I'm not forgiven. Then I can be challenged with somebody else. Then the easier forgiveness comes. The hardest one is me. The easiest one is I forgive you. I loose you. I loose me. I loose you. Everybody knows the enemy's faithful. What's he faithful to do? Okay. Can he do it to me, me, me? See, that may sound like a silly question, but you only need to answer that every hour of every day. That's walking out the salvation. I speak it out, might even be a better way to say it. Now, I've been thinking about last week's message, or Sunday's message, a lot. And of course, any time that you're given a promise, you're also given a challenge. It's natural. You make a decision to do what the Word says, the enemy makes a decision to talk you out of it in any way possible. So, anyway, Bob and Karen got a hotel room up at Black Hawk for last night. And so we went up there. Had a pleasant evening. Had the best night's rest I've had in quite some time. And got up this morning and didn't feel worth a hoot. And that doesn't go together. So I went and I got me a hot tub of water and I laid in it. And that helped for a minute. And we got around. We had a short time to meet them downstairs because she overslept. And I just I felt worse and worse and worse. And if I'd have been a normal man, I am not a normal man. Do you know that? Normal is what's judged by the world. I am not a normal man. You cannot judge me. I don't allow it. And if you do, you'll come up with the wrong judgment if you don't know God. I am in the likeness and image of Christ. That makes me a Superman. Okay? So you're not going to get me down with a little pain. You're just not going to do it. It's not even worth discussing. And it kept getting worse and worse. I was having trouble breathing, heart problems. And I said, you know what? And of course, I don't even have to pray about these things. I just speak. I walk in health. I'm healed. I don't care what I feel like. The Bible says you don't go by sight, which means you don't go by feelings either. You don't become afraid. What happens as we studied Sunday? What happens when you become afraid? You become unlike Christ or anti-Christ. You have little faith. Jesus was nice. That's what he spoke. But what he's really saying, that's not what I would do. That's not like me. You want to be like me? Be like me. And so this was bothering me. And here's the great part about a word from God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is required to come to you, to your need, when you are not quite doing what you need to do? Did you know that? That's what his job is. He is sent as a comforter. If you get cold at night, you pull up the comforter, right? You're a little uncomfortable, pull that sucker off, up. Jesus is the comforter. The Holy Spirit's the comforter. And so am I already doing what I normally do if there's pain or whatever I feel? I'm not worried about it. Don't get worried about it. You kind of chuckle because the enemy's going to say, it's time to call the hospital. You go, no. That's a silly suggestion. I'm afraid of those people. I know they have no healing to dispense. They can't back up what they say they can. I know that. I've nearly lost too many relatives just from the stupid things that hospitals do. And in an instant, now, we're all adults here, right? Okay. We'll see if you are. In an instant, the Holy Spirit said, this was instructions. You know, he can give you instructions to, it's in the Bible where people says, help my faith. Do you know the Holy Spirit wants to help your faith even if you don't remember to ask? He's such a good guy. Woo. And the Holy Spirit came to me and said, look, Stan, because I knew what I was doing. I was feeling bad. He said, tell your wife to take all her clothes off and lay on the bed and see how you feel. Now, this sounds silly, but this is exactly what happened. And the minute my mind went off of how I felt on how I could feel, all the pain, all the worry, all the bad feeling went away instantly. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? God can deal with you right where it helps the most, on the way it helps the most, in a pleasant way. He doesn't have to chastise all the time. And I knew that very second that how we control our mind depends on how much trouble we're going to have, or not the lack of it. The Bible says, this is what God showed me right then, that God says, what you're thinking about. If all I could think about was that feeling, this is what he does for little children. He presents a better feeling. You realize that God would do that for you? He did it for me because I preached Sunday what I preached. I've never had him do that before, ever. I've always had to work at it. It seemed like you work at it. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. Do you know what the Holy Spirit just did for me today? I didn't even have to stand. In fact, the remedy might have been in laying down. Now, I didn't have to go through that. I didn't have to tell her that because I knew she wouldn't. She thought, well, we only got 10 minutes. It's amazing what I can do in 10 minutes. But it's more amazing what God can do in 1 minute. In 1 minute, the Holy Spirit can help you out of what you might see is an impossible situation in 1 minute if your mind is open. See, my mind was closed to what the enemy was suggesting. But I don't know if I could guarantee you that it was open to the voice of God right at the minute. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we don't focus. You know, I've talked to my grandchildren before, and you're talking, and you go, focus. And they know what you're trying to say. As far as I'm concerned, the Holy Spirit, a gift from God, came into my room this morning and said, and then he didn't chastise. He gave me a very pleasant thought to show me that all I have to do is think on these things, not on those things. If you have pain, stop thinking on the pain. Because most of what we feel comes from right between these ears. Did you know that? And if that's the case, why don't I learn to control my mind over the pain or the fear? Only in the Bible. I know there's some other people that try to fake that. Mind over matter. There's some religions that have tried to. But I'm telling you, what I'm talking about wasn't my idea. That was God's idea. And because it was God's idea, and I'm depending on God's idea, He enforced it. But He didn't enforce it like a lawman. He didn't enforce it like, you got to get tougher. He enforced it with just saying, think on these things. And what He gave me to think on is not bad. That's pretty good. And it was quick. That's another thing. Remember, He can change everything. He can change everything in 24 hours. I've already said that. Always said that. But what I'm finding out is He can change everything in 1 minute. He didn't have to wait 24 hours. How do you see how? What would have happened if I'd have brought a doctor in? What would the doctor say? He would have said something like, what most of them will say is, oh, your blood pressure's out of sight. Or you need 5 bypasses. Or, oh, yeah, to begin with, we got to. Oh, yeah, that's becoming more natural than CAT scans anymore. Well, what you know about without holding up the sign is He's looking at you and saying, a new car. He's not saying, I want to help you. They get used to paying yours. It don't hurt them at all. It makes them money. Let's go back. We don't have to sit and talk about things like that. Let me tell you what I do have to talk about to you. If I would have gone to the doctor and I would have heard that kind of statement, would it be harder for me to believe God? Because now I have to stand against something. What I was doing in that hotel room was standing for something. I was standing for the Word of God. I was standing with the Word of God. And I didn't have to argue with anybody. Now, I'm a fighter, Harry. You know that. Sometimes I get more fun out of the fight than I do anything else. Come on, Doc. Let's talk. But I don't think God wants us to waste our time arguing with bad words. He would rather let us spend our time speaking good word. That's the only thing that's going to matter anyway. By the way, let me tell you something. I'm not saying that these things don't take over people. I'm not saying that they're not people that have heart trouble or high blood pressure or any of that. I'm saying it's not necessary. But there's only one way out of it. And we're working out our salvation right now. I have been practicing for years walking in faith. And many times the things that I have to practice are far beyond those that are just starting. But what I'm telling you tonight of all my practice seemed nearly silly after what the Holy Spirit did for me today. So what we need to do is not just believe that it's our fight, but it's our stand. When you've done all you can do to stand, you stand. Now, that don't mean I can't lay down and stand. We're not talking about a physical standing. We're talking about a decision and a confirmation of that decision by the speaking that under no conditions will I change my mind about I am healed. Now, we can think about finances. You can take specifics, blood pressure, pains, or you can just say I'm healed and let it include all of it, mentally, physically, financially, in the family, our direction, our understanding. When Jesus died on the cross, He covered some sickness and disease with bruises and stripes. But I'm telling you, when He went to the cross and died, and He said, it's finished, He meant everything. He meant everything. There is no weapon that's formed against me or you that can survive. Not only can it not survive, or not prosper, it cannot survive. And we'll never know that until we walk in it. And you'll never walk in it until it's a little scary first. If you don't do what I say, you're going to die. Okay. I'm dead. Now scare me. While I'm alive, my faith is my problem. When I'm dead, I'm somebody else's problem. And I won't be scared by you having a problem. I won't be. Now, if we can understand that the Holy Spirit doesn't do this just for Stan because this is the first time it's ever happened, then we can understand that He'll do it for all of us. Is that right? You see, if God would have asked me, can you come up with a witty, sharp way to get somebody to meditate on other things, that wouldn't have been my idea. It's too good for it to be my idea. It worked too well for it to be mine. So what we can do now is begin believing for the Holy Spirit to deliver us from things we've been believing for a while, in a crazy, unusual, very successful way. Does that make sense? Will it work? Only every time that you do it right. Well, what do you mean when I do it right? Do what he says. Do what he says. Don't go by feelings. Don't go by sight. Go by what you know. Now, I may be having pain. I may be having scary things go on. But so what? What do I know? What I know. What do I know? What am I intimate with? Well, here's one thing I'm intimate with. God has never, ever, ever failed me. And he doesn't intend to start now. He gets glory out of everything he does if I'm faithful to give it to him. And I'm going to be faithful from here on out. Right? The worst thing you can do is give faith, give glory to a doctor. The smartest doctor in the world knows that there's no healing in his hands. He's only a facilitator. He's a facilitator. Yes. But what he knows about healing, he's been taught from God. You know what? The worst thing in the world is a bad mechanic. And the worst, more worst thing is a bad doctor. And I got news for you. There's many bad doctors as there are bad mechanics. Are you being mean on doctors? No. No, we found out how many good money advisors were in the neighborhood when we had a pinch and a crunch. There's not very many, right? I'm telling you that if I don't need advice on what to do with my money, God is a better advisor than a man that's been trained. Anybody disagree with that? Now, if my faith is that I'm going to a good doctor, he's giving me good advice, please give glory to God. Don't give glory to the man. He might be the guy that operates on and leaves a sponge in. Well, that doesn't ever happen. Baloney. We just had a family event to prove that different, didn't we? Yeah. I've had people work for me, get spindles caught in their arm. This big, long cotton picker fingers about that long, steel. Go clear up to here. Have them cleaned out, and they leave gauze in the wounds. And they never heal until they go back and do it again. This is a man. Believe me. Do you make mistakes? Good. See, God doesn't make any mistakes. I don't know why I'd want to trust a mistake maker for anything. How critical are you in this? Very critical. Very critical. My life will not depend on a man. Why? Because I don't own it in the first place. I've given my life to another. I'm the bride of Christ, right? And I'm supposed to respond and obey what my head says. And I don't have the right to preach that unless I'm doing it, right? Christ, the groom, has instructed me on how I should believe. And for that, I'm going to be faithful. And I don't care if it flies in the face of every church and every minister in the entire earth. Because when Jesus walked the earth, that's what he did. He flew in the face of all beliefs. He did things that the church wouldn't even go along with. Did he or didn't he? And he didn't care what they thought. He didn't care. Are we that bold? Are we that faithful? Let's see if we can cover a little scripture here. Patrick. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, everybody understand, we're here, it's our home right now in this body. We are absent from the Lord. Now that means the best presence of God. We cannot enter, you know, sin cannot enter into the true presence of God. So as long as we've got this dirt flesh, we can't get into the real knowing of God like we're going to. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now I've got to ask you a question. How many of you in this room right now would literally deny what you saw for what you believed? That's a heavy question. Would literally deny what you saw because of what you believed? How would you deny what you felt because of what you believed? Well, that's the biggest job that God has for us is to find out if we really believe. And most Christians do not understand that the only way to find out what we believe is to challenge it. Now, I told you the devil works for God. He just doesn't know it. So every time he comes and tempts us to not believe, he's doing God a job to find out. We need to find out whether we believe or not. Not God. God already knows. We need to find it out. Now, was the feelings I had this morning real? You know how I know they weren't real? How fast they changed. Well, what if they were real? What if there's a real pain there? So what are you going to call final and real? You're going to call the bruises and stripes, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ real? More real than what you're feeling? Now come on, this is where we find out what if we are true believers. We walk by faith. The only way to please God is faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. What hasn't been covered by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Then we need to stop having special problems. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. That means you are not the first person that's had this problem. God covered it all. You need to believe it. That's that simple. I love truth. I love truth. What I'm telling you is the truth. There's a challenge out there in every one of you's life to find out if you walk by faith or by sight. It happens every day. And when you can say, I don't care what I heard. I don't care what I felt. I don't care what I saw. Then you know what God will do? He'll let you see some of the strangest things you've ever seen. Verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body than be present with the Lord. So our fight, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil comes to tell you that you're fixing to die, you won't have enough, and destroy what you have. And he can only do that with his voice, because he has no power to do it. Okay? Come on, we got to get this. If we have been given, Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, fed 10,000s, he did all of this, and then turned and looked at you and said, the things that I do, you'll do also even more. Can you believe he said that? Then why don't we act like it? Why don't we act like it? Yeah, he promised that if we'd say to the mountain, be removed, to be cast to the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, and you'll have what you say. Well, that means that no matter what I see, dead, wounded, broke, doesn't make any difference what I see. It says I can have what I say. And most Christians spend their time speaking about what they see, not about what they believe. Right? We don't listen to the promises of God. We don't operate on them. Now, this is just a continuation of last Sunday. God wants so much for you to believe him. Why? He's not a liar. He don't worry about what we think. He wants us to believe him so we can have more than we have. That we can do more than we're doing. Yes. Oh, no, no. More abundant life. Most of us don't even operate in abundant life. He wants more abundant life. Far beyond anything we've ever thought of or ever thought about asking for. I wonder sometimes why we even pray. When God wants more than I can think of to ask. That's why we should end all prayers with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because then we can open doors for much greater than we can think about asking for. God doesn't want. He is not desirous of recognition. He's desirous of us having a better life. Why? Just because we want it? No, because the only way that I can help somebody else is to have a better life. I can't teach faith unless I operate in faith. I can't give away money unless I got money. Right? I can't heal the sick and raise the dead unless I'm practicing at home. All men can't be drawn to Christ if none of his people are doing any miracles. Our television right now is getting so crazy that you can't even believe what you see on television. You can't believe what you see in pictures. So it's getting more and more present truth when you say, I will not walk in sight, I will walk in faith. That's more relevant and present truth than anybody's speaking. I don't know why God's pointing things out to me. So far it's funny to me. The waitress walks up to our table today and says, how is everybody? Well, I don't know everybody. That's what I told her. I don't know everybody. Well, how are you? Well, I'm great. Stan, are you playing? I don't think so. I think Karen told me today, they're asking what time it was. She said, we better get moving. We got to check out at 11. It's nearly 11 now. What time was it? 10:30. We were a 2-minute walk to the hotel. Are any of y'all getting what I'm talking about? Truth sets us free. We love truth. Truth is not truth unless it's truth. And I think God's reminding me of, be careful what you hear and be careful how you answer. I think it's going to be more and more important for Christians that they be very cautious about what they hear and they be more cautious about how they answer. Well, how's that going to work out? Well, the truth is going to set us free. It may sound like detail to you to go back and say, how's everybody? I don't know everybody. I cannot speak for everybody. She did that twice, didn't she? No, it was something else, a broad statement. Whatever. Philippians 4:8. This is a scripture backing up what I told you that happened to me. Philippians 4:8. Finally, how much more do we need to talk about? What does finally mean? Whatever things are true. Whatever things are noble. What's noble mean? Honorable. Righteous. Not at the same time. What did you say? Great. Great. That's a great definition. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just. What's just? It's what's right. Whatever things are pure. See, there's no more pure purity than truth. Whatever things are lovely. God, give me direction from a lovely vision this morning. Very lovely. Very pure. Nothing dirty about it. Changed my mind thinking. He said, think on this thing. Woo-hoo, okay. That's pretty quick, isn't it? Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. In other words, don't ever let the news in your life be the final word of anything. Because they only know a little bit. If there's any virtue, Karen and I have had some discussions in the last week about what is the virtue in your thoughts. Is there anything praiseworthy in your thoughts? What you're telling me by your thoughts. Is there anything I can praise God about? Is there anything I can praise the person about or for? I can think of you. And I can think, you know how our mind is built? I think of 10 things what I don't like about you before God. I think one that I can like. That's why we have to change our minds. That's not the way God wants it. If it is, nobody ever gets saved. Is there any virtues, anything praiseworthy? Meditate on these things. Now, this is a practical application of what I want to tell you in a childlike way. God tells me that my future, my healing, my health, my progress is much more based on having sex with my wife than it is on feeling my pain. Now, unless you become as a little child, you're not going to understand this. One is ordained by God. One is blessed by God. It is God's will. Feeling worried about pain or whatever is not. It is not. Now this is, I'm just so excited about what I've learned this morning because I've done the other and it's work. I remember laying in a hospital bed having the doctor tell me, now listen to me. The doctor says, your back is broken. I say, no, it isn't. She said, well, I have the x-rays. Now, do I operate by faith or sight? She said, so I know your back's broken. I said, no, ma'am, it's not. It's not broken. She said, I don't know why you're arguing with me. This is late at night. I'm tired. And I'm not going to go into an all-night discussion. My back's not broken. She said, well, I'm tired. We're going to look at this morning. We're going to talk about this in the morning. Okay. Now that's work, because I was hurting. You hearing what I'm saying? Stan, that's crazy. Oh, really? Well, there's the morning coming. If you stand in faith, you will have a morning. And when she came back, she said, Mr. Setliff, I don't understand what is the x-ray where I have the circle where the break is. There's no break there. Yes, ma'am, I told you. My back is not broken. See, our job is to change their sight, not for them to change ours. The morning will come if you go to bed in faith. She said, but I'm going to tell you this. You are so wounded that I can give you your pants and you can't get out of here. You can't get up. I said, give me my pants. If you want to know why Stan, I just can't tell Stan anything, maybe there's history. Maybe there's some history here. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to become a person that can't be told anything but word. And you're going to speak against everything that's not truth. Where that will take you, I have no idea. That's God's will. How it manifests in your life, that's God's. Whether you have to trust the doctor or you didn't. It doesn't make any difference how it manifests in your life as long as God gets the glory and you come out ahead. More than a conqueror. Is what I'm saying making sense? That wasn't very exciting. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. If you are speaking of what you're seeing, you're not speaking the word of God. So this word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now how in the world can I fall into destruction? Fall into destruction if I'm meditating in the word of God day and night. You will not find anywhere in the word where you have the right to go downhill. Why should you meditate it day and night? That you may observe, oh my goodness, sight has changed. Now I can go by sight. When my sight is fixed. So you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you, by the way, what does it say here? Does it say that up here on this version? Raise it up there a little bit. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Who makes the way prosperous? How does he do that? Through his word, through his presence, his spirit. Well, that's not enough. Did you know that's not enough? You have to agree with it. You have to say what God says. You have to think like he thinks. We are made in his image and his likeness. We have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to be so weird in this world, we don't fit. And we spend too much time trying to fit instead of be who we're supposed to be. No. And you know how rough that is? Here's how rough it is. And I can use Bob for a bad example, right? I don't care what he thinks. And I don't care if he believes what I'm telling him. And I don't care if he believes in the stand I'm making. I don't care. I've stumbled onto something that's more real than life itself. And your life will not override, your words will not override the way you live, the way you want me to talk. It will never change me. Because I have entered into a new belief system. And you may look at me and say, oh, he's weird. Now I'm looking like God. The more weird you think I am, the better job I'm doing. You know, to my kids, I don't think I ever had a big bit of sense until the last few years. I was just the craziest guy on the face of the earth. I remember Jason. When he got a little older, what was the name of that group? The first one I ever stomped on. He got a new CD. We'd already talked about the music he could listen to. Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I took the tape and I made it disappear. And he was mad. I worked for that money. I said, you should spin it right. You know what I feel about that. You're not going to do it. Well, you've never heard him. And guess what? You're not going to change the way I believe. I don't care what my son thought. I care how he turned out. Now, guess what? He's got two sons. And he's having to go through the same thing I did. He's having to tell them what they can listen to and what they can do and where they can go. If we, as earthly parents, can understand this, how much more our Heavenly Father? The instruction I got today was how to go, not how to fall. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Don't be afraid, nor dismayed. So I don't care what the news is, you are not to be down in the mouth. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalms 1 through 4. How many of you want to be blessed? We got a formula. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know what a mouthful I just said? Unless I got a godly doctor, I can't walk in his counsel. Unless I go to a godly preacher, I can't listen to his preaching. You hear what I'm saying? You've got to know who you're listening to. If you want to be blessed, if you don't care to be blessed, listen to everybody. Nobody's going to tell me how healthy I am. I already know. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the path of sinners. Now, do you know what that means? You don't do the way the world does. You do not follow their way. Nor blessed is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. You know why? You're too busy talking about God and praising God. You ain't got time for all this other stuff. Number 2, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. How can anybody delight in the law of the Lord? Believe it's not law. Believe it's life. Know it's law. Believe it's life. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You know when that doctor told me my back was broken? I didn't stay awake at all. And I did not meditate on her word. Because if I would have done that, I'd have become worried, fearful. The devil would have been very glad to put in my mind about being in a wheelchair forever, never being able to walk, never being able to have relationships with my wife. Never, he'd love to do that to me. But I cut him off. How'd you do that? I said, my back's not broken. Now I have nothing to worry about. You hear me? If you are speaking the truth, the words of God, you cannot be afraid. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's as close as you can get to dying. And I'm not afraid. Number 3. A blessed man shall be like a tree. Trees don't move too much, do they? No matter how high the wind is, no matter what the threat is, they just stand there. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Well, I don't know that I've ever produced fruit. Wait for your season. Stand. A blessed man is like a tree that has whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Why? Because you are speaking God's word, and God has to back up his word. Well, that was my word. No, 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 no. No, no, no. If it's God's word and you're saying it, it's his word. And he's on the spot, not you. You pray for the sick and they'll recover. It's not your promise. It's your command. And there's a man up there called God. He says, I'm not your man. I don't lie. I can't. I don't know how. I will hasten to do my word. Even if I speak it? Yes. The verse 4 is the ungodly are not so. What are you saying that for? Because I want you to understand that if you're not living by this scripture, you are the ungodly. If I don't live by what I just read, I'm the ungodly. And I'm not going to be the ungodly. Psalms 119, 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts. You know why this is so good? Because it's giving you a command to don't say meditate in the Bible. It says, look at the author and say, I will meditate on your precepts. When? When it's the roughest. And I will contemplate your ways. Not his ways, your ways. That's the relationship we're to have. 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. We don't say how hard believing God is. We say, I love your word. And I love living by your word. And I will do your word. And one person in the Bible says, I don't know if I can do it, but help my faith. Guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to come and help you. And the latter part of 16 says, I will not forget your word. You know when's the easiest time to forget God's word? When you're under pressure. when somebody's saying, run! It's awfully hard. It's the hardest thing to stop and say, don't need to. I don't need to. There's nothing to run from. They can run from me. I'm part of this thing that put 10,000 to flight. 1 Timothy 4, 13 and 16. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Well, I'd rather think about TV, money, and food. Fun. That's not what it says. You are to give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Do not, now look at this one, do not neglect the gift that is in you. How did it get there? Which was given to you by prophecy, which is speaking the word of God, with the laying on of hands of the eldership. How is anybody getting a gift? Through the laying on of the hands of the elders. Remember what we talked about, the test? The elders are the one that's supposed to judge the test, nobody else. Why? Because they don't have the gift to judge. Well, is there eldership in the church? Most definitely. Most definitely. How do you know an elder? He'll act like it. He'll look at some of the children and say, no. That's an elder. And he'll do it with love, and he'll do it with faithfulness. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Give yourself entirely to them. Entirely to them. That your progress may be evident to all. Now, I'm not going to ask this, but I would like to ask each and every one of you about each and every one of you. And what would I ask? Can you see any evidence of walking by faith? Do you see any evidence that they're giving themselves entirely to the things of God, to the Word of God, to encouraging and believing? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Oh, that's exciting. That's not scary. That's exciting. That you literally have the ability through doing what the Bible says that you'll help somebody else. Psalms 118:8-9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There's never an occasion, never one occasion in your life or mine that I can put trust in man over trust in God. Never. Does that mean that I can only listen to God? No. No, we just read a scripture that says, I can see in you trusting God. Therefore, guess what? I can trust you. Do you see God in me? Then you can trust me, right? So trust me. If I think you're getting out of line, trust me. I'm going to tell you. And vice versa. And I'm not going to be mad. We'll hold a grudge. Psalms 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Some of you have known me for years. How easily moved am I? And I've had all kinds of people saying, well, guess what? God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm supposed to look like Him. Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's the rough one, guys. Lean not to your own understanding. You may not like the story that I told you this morning. Well, tough. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, what about those ways where we mess up? It doesn't say except for those. What about those places we just feel like we weren't quite operating in the faith we should have been? It don't say anything about those. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. What does not, when you're in the Bible and it says, no, what does it really mean? It means an intimate relationship. The very description, Adam knew Eve, and you'll see Jesus as an outcome, or you'll see a life as an outcome. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What that means is you give Him praise when you screw up, and you give Him praise when you don't. And same thing. I gotta give you praise for Harry no matter what he just did. I don't even have to put that last part in. I just give you praise for Harry. Acknowledge Him in all ways. Come on. It's a requirement. We're going to be what Christ wants. We have to do it. And if we do that, Why do so many people miss the way? They make mistakes. About 3/4 of the people that say, I heard God, did not hear God. Because, how do I know? Because they don't, all in all their ways, they don't acknowledge Him. And if we do that, He shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Uh-oh. Everybody duck, here we come. Do not be wise in your own eyes. If you tell me, don't you know who I am? I'm going to tell you, yeah, a dummy. Because you think you're somebody. Well, I'm the pastor of this church. Jesus said, I've got to make a triumphant entry. Go get me an ass. So who do you think the pastor is? And until he knows he's the biggest ass in there, he can't teach with all of his heart and with all of his understanding. Because he must know that he probably screwed up more than anybody he's looking at. Well, why do you want to do that? Because it'll set you free. And it'll set them free. Just don't get big in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? If you do that, it will be health to your flesh. Uh-oh. Why are there so many sick and weak among you? Because they're not wise in their own eyes. Are they wise in their own eyes and they don't fear the Lord? They don't depart from evil. Well, nobody's looking. I can do it. I can't see this. Oh, the best thing my parents ever, or my mom especially, ever indoctrinated into me was that somebody's watching. And I knew what that meant. You're never going to do anything out of the sight of God. And the cool part about God's sight is He looked directly in the heart. He even knows if you did it in your mind. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, let's put a cap on something here. Our spiritual success is not based on our deeds, but our thoughts and our decisions. Your thoughts and your decisions will determine your deeds. Right? So God doesn't give a flip. He is not standing over a book writing down your deeds. In case you think that. He doesn't. He doesn't have to. You want to please God? Have the right thoughts. Make the right decisions. Well, I don't always do that. Well, wait a minute, remember. Do you always want to make the right decisions? There's your heart. I didn't ask you if you always did. I asked you if you always wanted to. Who knows that better than God? This is great. That's a great thought. Our deeds are not written down. Our thoughts are. One of the commandments in the Bible that Jesus spoke about was that you can commit adultery by watching her. So what's God really looking at? If I'm looking at a woman, or what are you thinking? You know, I've sat on the street and I've seen Corvettes go by that were beautiful. And I never once thought about stealing it. It's not mine. I don't want to touch that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've seen some ugly women and I've seen some pretty ones. And I nearly watched the uglier ones longer than the prettier ones. Come on. Because we are interested in interesting things. I was sitting in the casino last night watching people check in. Well, watching people is great. Now, this is a little weird. Y'all just think Stan's weird, and he is. But there was a lady that walked up there, and I said, Connie, look at that woman's butt. One side's a lot bigger than the other. Was it true? It was. It wasn't her butt that caught my attention. It was that one weird side. And I didn't say to myself, ooh, I'd like to touch that one weird side. My thoughts are, what is that? How did that happen? Nah. Ooh. Come on. Our spiritual success is not based on our deeds, but our thoughts and our decisions. Now, have I laid anything new out there for you to think about? If nothing else, that thing that happened to me this morning, you ought to think about. I know what happened. I don't care if you think that's weird. I know what happened. You can think it's weird all you want to, but my advice is to try it. I told her, looky here, Connie. I have an in-house doctor. Yeah, I'm sick of him, Patrick. If I get to feeling bad, I'll say, oh, woman, what am I doing? I'm changing my thoughts. Now, please, as we laugh, which you were supposed to, this is joy manifested. Because God is using something that the world has tried to make dirty. And he's telling us a secret right now. It could be our health. That's not the only one. We're going to get more ideas. It may be, I can think about a chocolate cake. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to remind me of next time. But I know this. It will set me free. All I have to do is not think about that, but think about that. I'm determined. Go ahead.
Not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified.
And me. Because she has to put up some weird stuff. But what she was trying to bring out, and this is the truth, all I have to do is change what I'm thinking about. Because I can find all kind of wrong things in people. Why don't I concentrate on some right things? I can think about all kinds of wrong things this church might have done in the past or is doing now. But why don't I think about the good things? Maybe all that other stuff will just go away. Really? I still like what happened today. I don't care. Y'all can, that's the most exciting thing. Well, it's always been exciting, but the fact that God used it the way he did, that's what's exciting. And everybody said amen, right? What else can we say? What else do we need to say? Praise be to God. And no matter how weird it comes across, I'll tell you what, God chastises those that he loves. But our definition of chastisement may be incorrect. We need to broaden it out a little bit, open up the scope. Why don't we allow him to say some things that might be dirty? Who described it as dirty? Huh? The world, which they want to participate the most in. There is nothing can be unclean in the marriage bed. But what I think God told me is it can be healing. Amazing. Well, we can't speak about that in church. Who wrote that rule? I said, are we all adults? I didn't hear any of you say I'm not an adult. I don't need to keep going down that road. Heart's clear now. I haven't said anything to you, or if I've said anything to you that's confusing, speak of it now. Okay, then I will have no negative thoughts about last week's message or this one. Right? I'll hear nothing negative about it because you didn't speak when it was proper. See, if you have anything negative, it'll be a question here. It won't be an accusation. The only thing I heard negative tonight was, don't encourage him. Okay. He's a little slow on the uptake. All art's clear. All art's clear, in case you didn't hear that. We're going to do what we're talking about. And we're going to expect God to do what we've talked about. And if you missed it, what is the one thing? What is the two things that can come out of this? That will come out of this? I will know. You will know. And we'll set people free. We'll see it in each other, and others will see it. So this is not a secret mission. We're not going to become strong in our faith secretly. We're going to let it be known. How do we let it be known? We take risks. We take risks. Trust in the Lord, not in anything else, with all your heart. And never, ever, ever ask yourself an opinion. Do you know you don't have an opinion about the Word of God? I've been trying to teach Karen this week or so. You don't have an opinion. Don't you want to be told that? I'm here to tell you, you don't have an opinion. When God's Word says something, He don't ask you your thought processes. Because He don't care. It's already finished. When God sat down and said it's finished the first time, when Jesus stopped and said it's finished the second time, then the only third thing to left is say, you must say it is finished. Otherwise, you're on your own doing your own work, and you know how that turns out. God is a hoot. He is fun. And He's got so many thoughts that we've never covered yet. Harry, I am so anxious that there's new things popping up on me all the time. And I'm not expecting that to stop. And the enemy comes to you and says, oh, God's told you everything He's going to tell you. Oh, really? I found out something this morning. By the way, what is new every morning? What? God is. His promises are. His mercies are. What's left? So every morning, we have a new beginning. Every morning, old things are passed away. All things become new. Are we expecting a boring life? Well, if you are, maybe that's what you'll get. But if you don't, I promise you. You know, one of the things I found out since we proclaimed retirement is that there's no such thing. But what we found out was we're working so hard now, I don't know where we found time to work. You understand what I said? I don't know when we ever had time to work. Here's what I remember. We haven't had a job. Ever. And I remember for all the years we were here. This blows me away still. Our American Express bill that had to be paid every month was over $7,000 every month. And we still cannot figure out where that money came from. But it was always paid. We never drove a car much less than 3 years. We always had a new one. How'd that happen? Now, I'll just lengthen it. Never did we have a need that wasn't met. Can you say that? Must you say it? God does not have you on a budget. Did you know that? God doesn't have you on a budget. You have you on a budget. Maybe if we'd learn to talk to God with an unlimited prayer, we might have an unlimited outcome. I don't know. I know this. The first time you really get blessed, there's going to be a test. What's really blessed? I don't know. I can tell you one that really happened to us. We're going along, slowing our budget down because we're not working. Slow down. We don't want $7,000 a month. Unless it's accomplishing something. And all of a sudden, we get a check for $40,000. We never expected that. We did not base our life on that check. But then all of a sudden, we're getting $10,000 a month. Boom, 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 boom. And we always give God praise that. We're giving more than that. It's called unearned income. God taught me some things in that. And that is this. What you earn is yours. And it can only go as far as you. If it's unearned, you didn't work for it. It's a gift from God. You know it. And it kind of starts increasing your faith. Whoa. That's a whole lot more than we need. It was God's decision. It wasn't mine. Then we turn right around. And I mean all of a sudden, rock bottom. Now we're going to live on $1,100 a month. No, nah, that's more than that. Let's be honest. About $2,200 a month. That felt like nothing. But listen, we didn't worry about it. And every time one of us would say, well, it's time we got to get a job, God would say, uh-uh. And we'd hear it just like that and respond just like that. Was it sin that the thoughts came? No. It would have been sin to meditate on that. The last time we were through here, we were running out of money. Just running out of money. And somebody called us, didn't know anything about this, not connected with our finances, said, have you checked your mailbox? Nah, we check it about twice a month, maybe. We don't have any bills, so what's the difference? It's just a waste of time, junk mail. He said, well, you better go down and check it. Next day, we got around and went down and checked it. Down means about 35 miles. Down, south. And there was a $10,000 check in there. Wow. Unexpected. By the way, unprayed for. I'm not smart enough to ask for $40,000 or $10,000. But I trust God for all provisions. And He knows what I need. I have need of. Now, I don't want to tell you all these things that are happening in between. But we've been up here twice now. Do you know how much it costs to drive 2,200 miles up and back? Do you know how much? Well, do your little IRS math. What do they give you credit? What do they say it's worth? Just about 55 cents a mile. And they may be wrong. Well, when you factor the price of the car, they are wrong. The price of tires anymore. So I'm just telling you that it probably costs $1,000 a time. Can we do it cheaper? Cash outright, yes, we can. We don't have to have $1,100 cash to drive up here and back. But see, who cares? Who cares? I'm not in charge of that. God's in charge of that. Do I worry about it? Listen, do I worry about it? Or I just say, all my needs are met. Are my needs met? We've never been out of money. We've seen the end, but we've never been without. What are you believing for? I'm believing for more blessing than I've ever had before. My uncle's, whose house we stayed at recently, you know, I'm just off the cuff here. Y'all can stay for another minute. We don't know anything about him. He had a crazy wife, and until she died, nobody could visit with him. That's why we value the time now. He wasn't man enough to slap his rifle around or whatever it took to stop her. So we all rejoiced at her death. Sorry. Well, we were there, and this time he said, you know, I have to watch over about 24 whales. Well, what does watch over mean? He said, that's how many we have. 24 oil and gas whales. And he has no children. And he was raised in a church, the Nazarene church, that they don't believe him for anything. Nobody increases their faith to believe more and more and more. But God blessed him, and God blessed him, and God blessed him. And he would tell you that. 91 years old, and every time he stops to pray, he nearly cries. He thanks God, and he just nearly weeps. He's so blessed. And we, as faith men, we wait until we are blessed before we thanks. That's not what the Bible says. You thank Him now. Call those things that aren't as they already are. You want to work the rest of your life for somebody else? Or would you like to just work for God? It may be the same thing. Your job may be working for God. I don't know that. But I know what you've got to think. Because your boss is not going to... He's going to think you're up to something if you come in and say, oh, praise you. Thank you so much. He's going to go up against the wall, get his back up against the wall, thinking here he's going to ask me for a raise. You can do that for God, and He already knows you're asking for a raise and still loves you. Now, what do we want to be? Do we want to be sick? Do we want to be broke? Do we think that's where our Father wants us to be? So what are we meditating on? According to what I can read, we meditate on what we believe. We're going to get what we meditate on. Does God love you more than you love you? Does God care about your future more than you do? Does God, we've been talking about this, does God tell us how to have a good future? So it's all up to us, isn't it? It's on my shoulders. It said you can make yourself prosper. Well, Stan, I've been trying for years. Quit trying. Believing God is only work when you're not quite believing yet. When the decision is made, that's when you believe. You know, it hasn't been that many years ago we heard a lot about what you die for. And I would like to ask everybody here, what would you die for? What would you literally die for? Our family, country. We're not alive until we're ready to die for God. Until we've laid our life down and already died to God. We're not living yet. I am so excited about that thought this morning. I can't get over it. It just keeps me kind of buzzing. I don't know how to be more specific with you. I've never in my life had the Holy Spirit come so fast and give me such a great instant way to stop something. No work. That was absolutely no work. I didn't have to believe for days. I didn't even have to believe for hours. It's boom, right there it was. You know what? How much do you want to know how much I'm trusting God? Do I take aspirin? Why? That's right. It tears my stomach up. No matter if I take one. It doesn't make a difference. Well, you can think that's negative if you want to. But I believe it's God saying, what do you need aspirin for? I cannot take aspirin. Cannot. Was it Wigglesworth that his one of his decrees that God told him he had to wear a hat or not wear a hat? Which one? Can't remember. One of the things that God told him was, I think it was, he had to wear this certain hat. And he wore it all his life. And everybody said, what in the world? He said, God told me. I don't have to. Listen, don't think he was a Wigglesworth. If you want to study something, study his life and then go back and say, you're nuts. You'll find out that obeying God, even in weird things, works. Works. Okay, somebody that knows me. How long has it been since I've seen a doctor? You don't have to know.
Probably when you took your dad into the hospital.
I didn't say see.
Oh, well, that's what you asked.
I did. I stand corrected. Now you answer it right.
You don't count a chiropractor?
Yeah.
Do you count a chiropractor?
No.
I've never known you go to a doctor. Dentist maybe. I don't.
And I'm about to swear off that. And I haven't seen a chiropractor for several years now. The last time I visited a doctor was before you. I was playing basketball, and I twisted my ankle so bad that it all turned black halfway up to my knee, and I really thought I'd broken it. So a day or two went by, and the old doctor that delivered me, that already tells you it's got to be quite a while ago. I went to see him, and he said, your leg's not broken. You just twisted it so bad you wish it were broken. I didn't know there was a way, but that's the last one I've ever visited. That's been at least 40 years ago. Do I look healthy to you? How in the world can you do that without a doctor saying you're healthy? Somebody I can depend on a lot more. You know why I never pulled my car into a mechanic's garage and said, could you check it out? He has to make a living. And to find, he has to find something wrong to make a living. Well, that's, come on, y'all knocked yourselves in the head just a little bit. Understand, that's not a good witness. Used to, these professions used to be honorable. And if you walked into the doctor's office, he said, nothing wrong, you get out of here. They won't do that now. They won't do it now. But God will. He still has an honorable profession. Stan, are you teaching it's wrong to go see a doctor? No. No, I said, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God is requiring more of me than he may require of you. Don't ask me why. I don't care. Here's my benefit. I may never, ever have to visit one. I may never have to. You know what would be? Oh, God's talking. You know what would be great? Is if doctors start coming to see me. Because why? Because they hear something. They hear a testimony. And they start doing this. They start bringing this. This person is eaten up with cancer. And it's true. And they don't have but about a week to live. And that's probably true. But I don't believe it. I hear you don't believe this diagnosis. Show me. All right. Now this is the way God wants the kingdom to work. I got goosebumps thinking about that. Wouldn't that be great? You know, there's a guy in Corpus. What's that crazy old Baptist that had those homes and stuff? Lester Roloff. That man, judges sent kids to that man. Doctors, psychiatrists brought kids to that man because he didn't believe their statement. He believed in God. And he built a home for them. And for the really honorable ones, he bought a barge and stuck it out in the middle of the bay where they couldn't swim to anywhere. And said, you take care of yourself then. And he had more success than you could ever imagine. He was in South Texas. He was well known. Now that's what God wants. He was well known because he trusted God. We need some Christians that are well known. Well, he's dead for 20 years. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Right across the street from, well, they got their own farm out there. They're not as well known. Because old Lester Roloff, he'd sing and he thought he could sing and he couldn't. But he'd sing anyway. He just opened up by faith and sing a song on the radio. And believe that people would be changed. And they were. And when they had his funeral, they had it in the City Memorial Coliseum. And when we walked in there, there was a big banner across the front. This is a graduation ceremony for Lester Roloff. And there was no negative thing in that ceremony. And there was an altar call. God wants us better. He wants to prove himself to us so they can be proved to somebody else. Y'all stand. I got to shut up. Do you believe that I'm speaking the truth? Do you think I'm here just to give you a good sermon? Or do you think I'm here because I think God wants to challenge us? And I thank him for that. And I thank him that he uses this ass to do it. I don't care what I have to do. I want him to grow. I want him to grow in your lives. I want him to grow in the church's life. And I want him to grow in the world's life. And my life is not over yet. I have some promises that were given to me over 20 years ago. Some visions. And I expect to see them. And they're going to include thousands. This church I ordained as minister to ministers. So if you're not a minister, grow up. If you attend her, you are a minister. And you'll have ministers ministering to you. Why? So that you can minister to others. And they can grow. They can grow. God doesn't want a bunch of saved people. He wants a bunch of ministers. That means you're not keeping it to yourself. You're telling somebody. You're bragging on what God does in your life. You're bragging on how He makes you feel. You're bragging on how He looks at you and others. It's something you can't hold. Amen? And we're not interested in position. We're not interested in authority. We're not interested in who we are or who people say we are. And we don't care if they call us dumb or foolish or ignorant or asses. We don't care. We just don't care. Why? Because we're so drunk in God. Nobody cares when you're drunk. You just do things because it's what you feel like. I feel like. Did you know I feel like everybody in this place ought to walk in perfect health? Do you know I have that belief? Why don't you have it? It's God's wish. And it's not easy. And it's not natural. It's spiritual. And I guess what I'm telling you is don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Just believe that God wants more for you. What's wrong with that? I'm not a guy that's full of love, but right now I feel like God wants to say to you, He loves you so much. And He wants for you so much. And He wants for this church so much. And all He wants is for everybody to quit looking at each other and just look to Him. Don't look for anything wrong, but think on these things. Don't think about bad or mistakes that have been made in the past, but think on these things. God would say, I'll tell you what to think on if you'll ask me. I'll tell you how to think about it. God, right now we accept that as truth. We receive it unto ourselves. We receive absolutely no condemnation or no guilt trip. But we receive it as a 7-layer cake instead of a 2-layer. It's all cake, but the 7-layer is better. And so we're going to reach up for that. We're going to believe you more. We're going to trust you more. We're not going to just believe you more. We're going to trust you more. And we don't care. We understand the Scripture says no weapon that's formed against us will prosper. It doesn't say there will be no weapon formed against you. It says there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. You said you'd go with us to the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say we would never go. It says you'll be with us. So we trust you. And more than that right now, I want to thank you publicly for that episode that happened this morning. Enlightening, refreshing, and a directive in my life of what I'm to expect and what I'm to teach. I give you praise. I speak over this body right now that they are blessed. They don't even have to ask you. I speak it in Jesus' name. They are blessed beyond measure. They walk in more health than they've ever walked before. They walk in more finances than they've ever walked before. They walk in more wisdom than they've ever walked before. And they become a lighthouse where those in need can come. We love you, Lord. We give ourselves to you totally. We do that in Jesus' name. We do it especially for the Father's honor and glory. Always. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Continue to praise. Continue to worship on your way and the way you sleep tonight. Meditate on these things and see if they don't grab you. Thank you for listening.